All right, let's do this. Luke chapter 2, verse 7, we're going to start with. Luke chapter 2, verse 7. Man, there's a powerful anointing flowing in here. Amen? Everyone got involved, even the little children. Don't you love that? So good, so good. Luke 2, verse 7. I got two verses I want to start with, two passages, rather. And it says, "And she, Mary, brought forth her firstborn son," firstborn, say firstborn. "Firstborn." "Her firstborn son, Jesus, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn." Now go with me to John chapter 1, down the road a little bit, John chapter 1, verses 43 through 46. Kind of weird when we have to cancel service for weather, isn't it? Just the Sunday, I mean, it's nice to have a break once in a while, but just it's not the same, is it? It's nice to get together, amen, in the presence of the Lord. Listen to this, John 1, 43 through 46. "The following day, Jesus wanted to go to Galilee, and he found Philip and said to him, 'Follow me.' Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, 'We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph.' And Nathanael said to him," here we go, you ready for this? "'Can anything good come out of Nazareth?'" How many of our, here's what I want to talk about here. How many of our expectations in life are shaped by culture? That's shaped by the society in which we live. That's shaped by man-made tradition and not from the Word of God. Not birthed out of a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I'm going to venture out and say, we probably have a lot of mindsets that kind of fit that twisted thinking. Amen? And, you know, we get so concerned and focused with the outward appearance of things, the outward appearance of people, that many times we're spiritually blind. Now, at my last pastor position, one year I came on a Christmas service. One year I was preaching at a Christmas service, and I started preaching in ripped jeans and a bummy t-shirt. Now, here's what happened. I showed up to the church, and I had the nicest suit on, I had the nicest clothes on, and while everyone was coming in, you know, "Hey, how's it going?" You know, and so I was dressed in the nicest clothes. And then during praise and worship, I went into my office and I changed into ripped jeans and a bummy t-shirt. Now, many of the people looked shocked and offended when I walked back in the sanctuary. In fact, they were so messed up by it, they couldn't even focus on praise and worship. But all were focused. They were focused. They were tripping over what I was wearing. Are you seeing where I'm going with this? The plan the Holy Spirit gave me worked perfectly. The people fell right into the purpose and trap of my message. I told them this. I said these words. I said, "Just because I'm wearing ripped jeans, just because I have a bummy t-shirt in a service as a pastor, that does not take away, come on, from my calling and gifts." Come on. I even asked them when I first got up, I said, "How many of you are offended I'm wearing this to a Christmas service?" And people actually raised their hand. Boy, people are foolish, aren't they? You never admit that, because you're going to get called out, baby. Come on. But I'm glad they're honest. Because of those things, my calling and spiritual gifts, they're not based on an outward appearance. How many mindsets do we have of what a pastor should look like? Right? Oh, he should be in a suit every Sunday. Oh, he shouldn't be wearing jeans at a service. Oh, are you following me? And people let things like that trip them up from receiving from the calling and the gifts. Now, no one's ever come against me with that in this church, so I'm just saying that. But it happens every Sunday around the world. Amen? The title of my message is simply this, unexpected packages. Say unexpected packages. I want to challenge you all today with this question. Can you look beyond an outward appearance of a person and hear what God is truly speaking? Are you open, listen, to the lessons and the information that the Lord is trying to pass on to you? See, that's one aspect that will measure this. Are you ready? It will measure your spiritual maturity as a Christian. There's a lot of profiling that goes on in the body of Christ. Some say, well, I don't want to receive from or even share the gospel with a person because they don't look the way that I look or I think they should look. How are we going to act when the drug dealers start coming in here? How are we going to act when prostitutes start coming in here? How are we going to act when those that you have a problem with but Jesus loves deeply? How are we going to act when they come into this building and on this property? Are we going to run them off, or are we going to lovingly introduce them to the Savior, the greatest gift in the universe? I told the people at the other church this truth. I said, if you are offended over the fact that I'm wearing jeans with holes in them to a Christmas service, then I can pretty much confidently say that you would have probably rejected the Lord Jesus Christ, the greatest gift of mankind, because he was put in a stable or a feeding trough and not a gold-plated crib. Maybe you would have rejected the earthly ministry of Jesus because Jesus was humble and he didn't act or look like a king, but he is and was, come on, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Jesus came in a way that didn't meet the expectations of those religious people. And those people totally missed the visitation of God to planet Earth. Now we look back and we think, wow, if I lived during that time, boy, I would be, man, that'd be so awesome. I'd be on board. Would you? Would you though? Because after all, you're looking for a king, not someone that was born and put in a manger. A manger is a feeding trough for animals. See, they had the wrong expectations. They had the wrong perceptions. They had a fleshly and worldly requirements. After all, again, surely God would come to earth by being born in a palace among many riches, right? But it was an unexpected package because of some people's expectation. Surely the blankets that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords was wrapped in would be the finest of linens, right? Surely he would be laid, like I said, in that gold-plated crib and not a feeding trough for animals. Surely the Son of God was too high class to be raised in Nazareth. After all, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Surely the Son of God would come into Jerusalem riding on a gold-plated chariot, not a donkey. You will, listen to this, remember this, don't ever forget it. You will believe what you perceive. You will believe what you perceive. The problem is our perceptions many times is not based on reality. Think about that. You will believe what you perceive. If your perceptions are wrong, your belief system's going to be wrong all the way down the line. And that's called deception. That's called ignorance. And I mean, that's a sobering thought, how we can be deceived, isn't it? Deception is a horrible thing. So I want to give you this caution today. A gift, listen to me, a gift from God may come in a package that you don't expect or you don't like. Again, the title of this message is Unexpected Packages. What happens when God brings your blessings and provision in a package that totally contradicts your expectations, right? I mean, look at Mary's life. She was a young girl that was chosen by God to carry the Son of God. She was rejected by many because the process did not make sense to their earthly mind. It didn't make sense. Everything they were seeing bumped up against their flesh and man-made traditions. Yet it's the Son of God. It's God entering this earth. What is the lesson that we are to learn from this? Some things may be birthed in your life that won't fit your expectations. But it is God, nonetheless, it is God at work in your life. But will you see God's hand in it? Will you perceive and receive it? Some rejections are a blessing in your life. What didn't work out really is working out for you. Hello, somebody. How about John the Baptist? He was looked at as a crazy man and strange because he proclaimed the word of God. He was proclaiming the word of God and about Jesus crying out in the wilderness. He had so much passion. He was too radical for many people. And he ate honey and locusts and wore camel's hair. This guy looked like a freak. Right? Nonetheless, he was handpicked by the Holy Ghost himself to blaze the trail for the Lord Jesus Christ's entry into this earth. He was preparing the way for the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes God's messengers and messages will come in a way. Are you kind of picking up? That you don't expect. Unexpected packages. The prophets in the Word of God were despised and rejected for the most part because, again, they were too passionate. They were too radical. Be careful to not reject. Be careful because you might be rejecting God's messengers that he sends into your life. Now, what if the minister that you don't care for at all? See, we all have our likes. We have our dislikes. We have, right? When it comes to ministers and different styles. But listen to this. What if the minister that you don't care for at all because of his or her preaching style holds the very key to your life and breakthrough? Don't put it past God to do that. Because God, think about this. God wants to work in us and through us. Do you want to know why he works in us? So he can flow through us. If we don't let him work in us, there's going to be a hindrance of him flowing through us. Are you following me? Amen. See, we reject those persons, but at the same time, so if we reject those people, if we reject those ministers, if we reject those individuals that God sends into our life, but you're tripping up. You're tripping up on it, right? You're actually hindering yourself spiritually because that's the very key that God's trying. See, God's not going to bring what you need with what you want and expect. Let me just tell you that right now. Oh, it's getting mighty quiet up in here. Be careful with the perceptions and expectations that you set in your life. Here's what you need to do. The Holy Spirit said to tell you this. Tell them to pray for discernment in their life. To know when God's sending someone into your life. When God is setting up divine appointments in their life. How many here want to make sure you take advantage of every divine appointment in your life? Why wouldn't we, right? Then we need to pray for discernment. Lord, don't let me miss your voice within a voice. Don't let me miss your gift within the unexpected package. God will do just that. He will do it. I'm telling you right now. He will send a package that you don't like to point out the faults and our weaknesses in our life. If your heart is right with God, you will hear and receive the message that God's trying to teach you. I truly believe that if a person has a hang up on something, I'm telling you, all you're doing is saying, God, send it that way. God may at even time, many times, or sometimes, he may send a person he may send an angel in the form of a human being to send it to you. That, you know, that smelly homeless person that just walked past you, you know, and you had your nose in the air, that could be an angel where God's testing you. Hebrews 13:2 says this, do not forget, Don't forget. God is literally saying, don't forget. So if he's telling us not to forget, what do you think the temptation is? We forgot. He says, do not forget to entertain strangers, for by doing so, some have unwittingly entertained angels. Literally, angels. Say angels. Now, I want to share something with you here, because I think this was one of those times. I remember a time when I grew up at a church in Imlay City that I was at for the first 20 years of my life. I remember one Sunday, I was in high school, and during that Sunday morning service, a homeless man, I mean, the service was going, all right? I mean, the pastor just got up, started to preach, and all of a sudden, this homeless guy, I mean, he was just, you know, you could tell, right? I mean, you can just tell, right? And a homeless man came right up and sat right on the front row of the in the service, all right? Everyone was looking all around shocked at each other because this guy just messed up their idea of a cozy little church service. I remember I was watching. I'm like, what's going to go down here? You know, and nowadays you got to kind of be kind of on guard because you don't know if someone's coming in and wanting to do harm or something, right? But anyways, everyone was just so messed up by it. And, you know, after all, you should be looking perfect. You should be looking your best on Sunday, right? And so this guy, who people didn't know, came into the service. And during the service, the pastor asked a rhetorical question. Do you know what a rhetorical question is? It means when the pastor asked a question in his sermon, or you ask a question, and you're not expecting an answer back. You're just saying the question. So the pastor asked, you know where I'm going with this. The pastor asked a rhetorical question, and the guy yells out the answer. He totally yells out the answer, and it shook up that traditional little church, that business as usual that went on. And I truly believe that God sent an angel into that church that day, that disguised as a homeless, I feel the anointing just saying, talking about it right now. He sent an angel disguised like a homeless man to test the people, to check their spiritual temperature. See, we have mastered as humans to set our own expectations that we limit. You know, we shut out the blessings and ignore divine appointments in our life. We've all done it, right? But when God begins to move, will you recognize it? When God's trying to speak, will you hear him? Like I said, within his voice within a voice. And it might be a voice that you don't like. Keep that in mind. Will you come out of your comfort zone? Will you look beyond the outward appearance at the package that's delivering the message? Amen. See, this is a requirement for all of us. Go with me to 1 Corinthians 3. Especially this season, I just feel like we're getting into a season, and people have been ignoring, you know. God's been trying to speak, and he's trying to bring it through means that you're not looking for. You're not expecting, right? Here's the deal. When you pray for something, I put a Facebook post yesterday on Facebook. I said, when you pray, I said, you do the asking. You do the asking and you do the believing. But the how he answers, it's none of our business. Did you hear what I said? You believe and you ask. The how he answers it, none of your business. None of our business. Let him deal with the process. Our job in prayer, listen to me, is to pray for and believe and speak the desired result. The process in between, it's none of our business. Let him deal with it. 1 Corinthians 3, 18 through 20. Whew, hallelujah. It says, let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you to seem wise in this age, let him become a fool that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he catches the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are futile. That is so good. You know what God's really trying to say right there? I'm going to send you things in ways that you're not even going to understand or expect. The wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. The expectations that we form from a worldly and society, from society, it's all foolishness with God. Amen? It's all foolishness. Now, let's talk about a couple accounts where God met the people's expectations, even though they were not his perfect will. All righty? Israel cried out to God for a king. Remember that? It was not God's perfect will, but they wanted one, so God said, you got it. The worst thing you can ever have is answered prayer to the wrong prayer. Are you following me? Answered prayer to the wrong prayer. So they got Saul. He rebelled from God, and that brought destruction to the people. All right? The expectation of the majority is not always in line with God's expectation or desire. Now, when Moses went up the mountain and got the Ten Commandments, you remember that? From God. The children of Israel decided to build an idol to worship. They were impatient. Oh, the Holy Ghost gave me something here. They were impatient. Say impatient. You want to know what the Holy Ghost told me when I was writing this? He said this, impatience will always lead to some form of idolatry in the Christian's life. Let me say that one more time. Are you ready? Now listen real close. Let it get into your conscious and then into your subconscious. Are you ready? Impatience will always lead to some form of idolatry when we try to run ahead of God. Many times we set up expectations that are not God's expectations, and we begin to worship our own idols and expectations and traditions of man. You getting anything out of this? Samuel seemed to have a problem with looking at the outward appearance in a certain situation. When he was sent by God to Jesse's house to anoint one of Jesse's sons to be king, Samuel was a powerful prophet, and still, are you getting this? He still fell into the trap of looking at the outward appearance. Look at 1 Samuel 16 with me real quick here. 1 Samuel 16. My. 1 Samuel 16, 6 and 7. So it was when they came that he looked at Eliab and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have, underline it, refused him or rejected him. Isn't that something? It wasn't the oldest. It wasn't the one who was tall. Thank God there's hope for me. Amen. It was the youngest, and it was the smallest in stature of the sons that the Lord had chosen to be king. Ladies and gentlemen, let me introduce you to David, King David. Are you following me? Yet the prophet, listen to me, if you're a prophet, you're not infallible. Hello. You can fall into the flesh just like anybody else. Amen. What you see in the natural realm, listen to me, what you see in the natural realm is not always what you get in the kingdom of God. Many forsook Jesus, again, because he didn't fit their mold of what the Son of God should look like. Yet, again, he was the greatest gift from heaven sent to earth for mankind. So don't ever be quick to judge the outward appearance of a person. I've seen some kind of a status on Facebook recently. It says, I don't care how you look on the outside. If you got an ugly heart, you're ugly. Yeah. Right? I don't care how pretty you think you are, how pretty you are. If you got an ugly heart, girl, Guy, girl, you ugly. I got to say both. We got to be politically correct here with that, right? Because it goes both ways, right? So don't ever be quick to judge the outward appearance of a person. Here's what you can do, though. Are you ready for this? Judge the fruit of a person, not the appearance. We are fruit inspectors. Or else, how can we make the determination of who we are to hang out with and who we're not supposed to hang out with? Amen. Judge the fruit of a person, not the appearance. So you will, again, you will believe what you perceive. All right? If your perceptions and expectations are wrong, your beliefs will be wrong. Now, listen to this as I get ready to close out here. Yes, it's a shorter message. It was only 7 pages. You're welcome. Merry Christmas. That's right. Don't expect once a year. We're going to do this. Ready? Listen to this. If you are an unbeliever, meaning you're not a Christian in this place, you may perceive yourself to be a good person, and you think you have no need of Jesus Christ, but I'm here to tell you right now that your perception, that perception is totally wrong. That's wrong perception. Wrong perception is equal to deception. The problem is that you are comparing yourself with other people, and you have set your own standards. Oh, I think I'm a good person. Yeah, but you're comparing yourself to the wrong standard. You're comparing yourself to the wrong standard. See, every one of us need to compare ourselves to God's standards, right? The Bible says anyone that does this, when you're comparing yourself to someone else, you want to know what the Bible says you are? A fool. It literally says you're unwise. I don't know about you, but I want to be wise. I want to have some wisdom on this earth. Amen? Romans 3:23. Here it is. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's your standard right there. Right? Only faith in the Lord Jesus Christ can make you righteous and reserve a place for you in heaven for eternity. Amen. That's the only thing that can change your spiritual address for eternity. Only faith in the Lord Jesus Christ can keep you out of hell and the lake of fire for eternity. Because it literally says, if when you take your last breath without Christ, you're going to hell, right? And then hell gets thrown into the lake of fire for eternity. So hell's not even the final destination. The lake of fire is. Are you following me? So you may have the wrong perception that God is angry at you and that he hates you. Again, that could not be farther from the truth. John 3:16 says this, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Keep in mind that God the Father sent his son Jesus Christ to this earth while we were sinners. That's why we couldn't earn it. You couldn't do one thing where God says, all right, they've done enough good works. Go ahead, Jesus. Now they earned you to go down there. That's what that means. You didn't earn it. While we were cursing God, while we were sinners, he sent Jesus, the perfect gift. Amen? And it's a free gift. Amen? God has made the provision for every person on this earth. He is now waiting for every person to receive and respond to his love and provision on this earth. That's the truth. Amen? The wise men brought gifts to Jesus when he was born on this earth. And so what kind of a gift can we bring? What kind of a gift can we bring to the King of Kings, to the Lord of Lords, that would make any difference? Ready for this? Give him every part of your life. Give him your entire heart. That's the gift he wants. Amen? We give him our whole heart. We give him our entire life. That's the gift that God wants from us. In fact, it even goes on to say this. It says, that is not even a stretch. That's our reasonable service for what Jesus did for you. So, church, will you look beyond the outward appearance and beyond your fleshly desires, beyond the worldly desires, beyond those expectations, and move with the Holy Spirit to bring glory to the Lord Jesus Christ? It's time for us as Christians to be ready to receive everything from our Heavenly Father. And even, listen to me, even those lessons and gifts that come into our life, ready? Through unexpected packages. Let's stand up in this place. Hallelujah. Say unexpected packages. Be looking for unexpected packages. Prayer team, come on forward. Now, maybe there's someone in this place. I can't think of a better service for you to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life than at a Christmas service. Amen. The gift was sent to this earth, and now you can accept and receive that gift on the time that we are celebrating the birth of Christ. If you've never made Jesus Christ Lord of your life, come up to this altar and pray with one of our prayer partners today. Tell someone. Do it. Can I do it in my seat? Sure you can. But it's better when you come up and tell someone and let someone pray with you. Don't be ashamed. Jesus wasn't ashamed to hang naked on a cross for you. You ought not be ashamed to accept him publicly. Amen? Now, maybe there's someone in this place. Maybe you're saying this. As you heard me preach, the Holy Spirit was speaking to you of maybe the things, maybe the perceptions that you have. The Holy Spirit, I feel this by the Holy Ghost right now, that some of you, the Holy Spirit is bringing to your remembrance people and situations that came to you to deliver a message and you rejected it. If you have done that and you want to say, God, I'm sorry, I want to tune into your voice, I want to rededicate, I want to really lock in, especially going into this new year of 2025. If you want to lock in and you want to repent of those times that you passed up the message because of that outward appearance or that package, come forward and pray with one of our prayer partners. If you want to receive the Holy Spirit baptism, listen, it's not an option. It's a requirement. Amen? You get born again, the calling comes. Then you need the baptism of the Holy Spirit to add power to that calling so you can be effective witness for Jesus Christ. If you need prayer for anything else, they'll pray with you. Don't keep them too long because we got a luncheon downstairs, all right? So let me pray right now over the food. Father, we thank you for this service. Thank you for this word. Lord, thank you for everyone that participated in this service. Thank you for everybody that came and watched online. Lord, bless them. Lord, minister to them. Father, we never want to miss the delivery of the package that you are sending into our lives. Let us, Lord, give us discernment. Allow us to be aware and conscious of when your Holy Spirit's moving so we can hear your voice within a voice. And Lord, bless the fellowship, bless the food, and all of the people that help prepare it. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, I love you all. Oh, yeah, the elevator. Anybody can't use the stairs? Elevator in the war room over there. So love you all. I hope you guys stay, eat, and have a wonderful week. Merry Christmas, everyone. God bless you all.